Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our church service. It's not often you say this in church, but I apologise that it's too hot today. If you feel it's getting too hot, please feel free to open the doors or do what it takes. Maybe unbutton that coat. You're all welcome for a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service. And the magazines are out today. There was a delay in getting them. We just got them this morning. But they are out today. It was a problem with the printer end. On Monday, we now have Zumba and Pilates. You might like the Pilates. It's very gentle and very quiet. The Zumba's loud and jumping about, but the Pilates is gentle. I commend it to you. The Holy Half Hour on Monday night hopefully will be broadcast, but 3TFM is moving house. They've just finished at the Focus Centre and will just be starting on Monday down in Ardrossan at Glasgow Street, the old post office. On Wednesday, the Guild's having its outing. The bus leaves at 11:15 from the church and is going to Wishaw and Garion Bridge Nursery for tea. I wish you a nice, beautiful day for that and hope it's good fun. Thursday, 10:30, the prayer time. And on Friday, we're very grateful to all the volunteers who help clean the church and do the grounds of the church. And you can imagine that over the summer, we particularly need more folk to help in the grounds. So if you'd like to help with the cleaning or with the grounds, please come along on a Friday, as and when you're able, to do whatever you think you can. Next Sunday is Christian Aid Sunday, and we'll be having a special offering. The board was discussing this on Tuesday, and we felt that of all the good causes, we feel that Sri Lanka, where worshippers were killed on Easter Sunday morning, we feel that we should be supportive of persecuted Christians around the world, really, but in particular in Sri Lanka. So it's a Christian Aid. It's not really. We asked Christian Aid if they were working in Sri Lanka, and they said they weren't. So this year, although we're highlighting Christian Aid Week for Christian Aid, we're focusing the retiral offering, or the special offering, will be for Sri Lanka, and it won't be through Christian Aid, it'll be through the Church of Scotland. The Church of Scotland moderator wrote to us, commending to us helping Sri Lanka. So, slightly confusing, but on Christian Aid Week, our offering will be going to the Church of Scotland's work in Sri Lanka. More of that next week. I commend to you the food bank and the Malawi box as usual. Let us celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and our resurrection in him. Let us sing hymn 670 in Mission Praise, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done." Jesus drew near to Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. Jesus draws near to you and I this morning. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we, your disciples, set out on the road that leads into another week. Draw near and go with us. Draw near and speak with us. Draw near and open the Bible to us. Draw near and may we know you as you dwell with us in our homes, so that our hearts may kindle with new love for you and for everyone. You are our light and our salvation. When you are with us, we are frightened of no one. Your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. When you are with us, we can travel safely on. You are the great conqueror of death. When you are with us, we have nothing to fear. Journey with us into this week, O Lord, for otherwise it is full of hidden dangers. Speak to us as we travel on, for otherwise the Bible itself just bewilders us. Help us to know that you, Lord, are risen indeed, alive, here, now, with us, for us. Otherwise our courage fails us. We are foolish like Cleopas and his friend. We are slow of heart to believe the good news that we know so well. Too often we act and think as if your great victory over death was just an idle tale, as if your love had lost the battle against darkness, as if the sin of the world has the last word. We lose faith when we see the short-term victories of evil men and women. We get downhearted when people jeer at us for our faith. We give up when we run the risk of having to suffer for our faith. In our weakness as a church, we cry to you, Lord, have mercy upon us. In our many personal defeats, we cry to you, Lord, have mercy upon us. You have said, fear not, I am with you. I am he who blots out your transgressions, and I will remember your sins no more. Lord Jesus, be with us at this time of worship. Open the scriptures to us. Grant us a greater understanding. And most of all, help us to realize that it is you, and you are here and with us. And hear us as we pray together the words which you taught us to say, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There was just one intimation I forgot. Brian gave me this before the service. This was found at the gates of the church. So somebody's lost a dog lead. If you know anybody that's lost one, this is it. And if there are no claimers and somebody needs a dog lead, you know where to come. Well, good morning. And how are you guys today? Good. That's the spirit. I want to tell you something amazing. When I was your age and at the school, in the classroom, there was a poster, and it was a place in France, just an ordinary street in Paris, and they had a baker shop on it, a boulangerie, and this is where I learned my French at school. So one day, I got the chance to go to France, and I went to Paris, the capital, and I was just thinking when I was there, I remember that poster in the school. I wonder if I could maybe see that street while I'm here. What's the chances that you can see Astreet from a poster from years ago, just at the time you think about it when you're there. So I lifted up my eyes and I looked around and I saw that shop. Just at the time I had the thought, I was standing in the place that was on the poster. And I just noticed a wee shop selling postcards. And the first postcard I saw was a postcard of the street I'm standing in with that bakery shop. I'll show you. So I bought the postcard. Harry, have you got the postcard by any chance? All right, no, I emailed you yesterday. It's okay. Right. I'd hope to show you a bigger picture, but never mind. This is it on the postcard. But you get the point. This is a postcard from France, right, from Paris. And it's just a normal street in Paris. And lots of Paris streets have bakery shops. And that's it there. But it's an amazing coincidence that the poster in my head from my school days was the place I was standing in and selling postcards of it that I can keep. And that's a photograph of me at the same place as the postcard. It's a bit out of focus because I'm in the foreground and the picture's in the background. It's in focus. But what I'm trying to make the point of saying is, at one level, you know about something because they've got a poster on it. It's another level to go there and to be standing in it and to get your face on the photograph of it. That's true in life for all kinds of things. Like, it's not been a successful day today in many ways. My next thing I was going to do was share with you some grapes. Because I could say to you, grapes are lovely, aren't they? And I had some. And I could have stood here and eaten my grapes and you'd have taken my word for it as I was eating them, how lovely the grapes are. And then I could have given you the grapes and then you could have known how good they were because you're tasting them. It's one thing to hear about it, it's another thing to taste it. Well, I would have brought you the grapes, but my wife's eaten them. They were in the fridge, honest. Patricia's eaten them all. Right. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to experience it. Let me illustrate it another way. On Friday, I was telling a bedtime story to Eva and to Connor. And they liked the story. And it wasn't enough for Eva just to hear the story. She had to tell the story back to me. And that wasn't an easy job, because it's a complicated story. And here's me telling you about it. But it's not enough me just telling you about it. I think we should do it. So Eva, would you like to come out? We haven't rehearsed this other than Friday. So we could tell them the story. And then if they're clever enough, because you were pretty clever at this, I told her once and she could tell it to me back. We'll see if you can tell it to me back, right? It's a short story. So listen very carefully. We shall say this only once, as they say in France. And then I want you to tell us back. Because a story means more if you're in it and telling it. Right, let's try this together. I've only got the one mic at the moment. Are you ready? Once upon a time, there was a badger and two squirrels. What were the squirrels called? In and out. Just a minute, I must get a microphone. Yeah. It's not here. I knew that would happen today. Right. Okay, we'll just battle away. We'll be finished by the time you get it, to be honest. Right, I'll do it with you. So the squirrels are called?
N and O.
Right. Once upon a time, the badger knocked on the tree of these two squirrels called N and O. Can I just clip that on there? You hold that. Right. Testing, can you say in and out?
In and out.
Oh, it's not loud enough. Right, say it in a loud voice.
In and out.
It's coming. Can you hold that there? That's fine. Right, let's try. And the conversation went like this. The badger says to the mummy squirrel, are in and out in. Just hold that in there. Are in and out in. And she said,
out.
In. Outs in. And
in is out.
Out. Right? So do you want to come in?
Or do you want to go out?
Do you want to come in and see out? Or do you want to go out and see in? Right. He said, I'll come in and see out. So they came in to see out and said to out, do you want to stay in or will we go out and see in? Keep going. Remember it now? So they went out to see in.
And out wanted to go in, and wanted to go out. And then they both had a fight, and out get knocked in and get knocked out.
Yeah, well done. Right, well done. Sorry about the hiccups. Right, I'll tell you this quickly, and let's see if you can do it back. Do you want to come in and see out, or do you want to go out and see in? I'll come in and see out. So they said to out, do you want to stay in, or do you want to go out? Out says, let's go out and see in. So they went out, saw in, said to in, do you want to stay out, or do you want to go back in? Well, out and in thought about it, in got knocked out, and out got knocked in. Right, you ready? Are in and out in. Well, in's out, but out is in. Do you want to come in and see out? Or do you want to go out and see in? Well, we'll come in and see out. They said to out, do you want to stay in? Or do you want to go back out? Out says, let's go out. So they went out, and they saw in. And they said to in, do you want to stay out? Or do you want to go back in? Out and in thought about it, and the result was in got knocked out, and out got knocked in. Well done. You see, the fun in this story is not so much hearing it, you get a wee laugh at hearing it, there's much more fun telling it. So you practice it and you'll have fun, and you'll spread the joy. Now that is the same thing with the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples, one by one, met Jesus risen. And then they ran and told other people about Jesus. He's not dead, he's alive. There was real joy as the truth came upon them, and even more joy as they told other people and the truth came on them. And as Christians, for 2,000 years, we've been discovering that Jesus is real, and running and telling other people that he's real and spreading the joy and the good news. It's also true with God's love, Jesus' love for us. You know the song, Jesus Loves Me? You can hear about it from preachers, Sunday school teachers, family, friends, anybody, everybody. You can read about it in the Bible, but it's a whole lot more when you know it. When you've heard about Jesus is one thing, when you know Jesus it's something else. And when you're full of Jesus and full of the love of Jesus, you can't help but tell everybody else and spread it. So I want you to try this with me, if you're able. I want you to say together, Jesus loves me, three ways, if we stress the different words, the actions. So first one is, Jesus loves me. And point to yourself if you can, see? Everybody, I mean. That's an amazing sentence. If you can ever say, Jesus loves me, what a difference in life that makes. And then if you can say, Jesus loves me. He's not just somebody somewhere who knows about me. He really loves me. And if you can say, Jesus loves me. That's the one that was dead and buried, but risen again, alive and here now. He loves me. So let's do that quickly. If you're able to join in, join me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Right, let's sing it together. It's the next hymn. 418. Thanks, Eva, for your help. Just one reading today. It's the story of Jesus appearing to Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. This is Luke 24. At verse 13. On that same day, that's Easter Sunday, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 11 kilometers or 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?" They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day since it happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but couldn't find his body. They came back saying they'd seen a vision of angels who told them that he's alive. Some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are! How slow you are to believe everything the prophets said! Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory?" And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of all the prophets. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they held him back, saying, "Stay with us, the day is almost over, it's getting dark." So he went in to stay with them. He sat down to eat with them, took the bread and said the blessing, and he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others and saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." The two then explained to them what had happened on the road and how they had recognized the Lord when he broke the bread. While they were telling them this, suddenly the Lord stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together hymn 689 in Mission Praise, "Thine Be the Glory."
Jesus, be.
Luke chapter 24, verse 15. Jesus drew near and walked alongside them. We've just been singing, "Thine be the glory, no more we doubt thee." Do we really believe that? Can we say that? No more we doubt thee. We say, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Did someone tell us that? Or have we discovered that? Do we know it to be true in our experience? We're about to sing, coming up, "I Serve a Risen Saviour." Do you believe it? Is he a risen Saviour? Your risen Saviour. Do you serve him? We live in a time of uncertainty, insecurity, confusions, doubts. In the storms of life, many people's anchors are slipping. Believers don't have absolute certainties. There are doubts that go with beliefs. It's the shadow side. In order that you believe, you might also have to doubt. You question things and you investigate things. But is there a rock-solid belief with a little shadow of doubt? Or is there a little seed of belief with an overwhelming shadow of doubt? We live in times when people seem to feel that there's nothing certain about anything. There's no right or wrong, no absolutes. Everything's relative. You've just to do your own thing, make your own lifestyle choices, free expression. When in Rome, do as the Romans. And then they discover that the Romans are all confused themselves. Don't follow them. It's the blind misleading the blind. One man was wearing a tie. It had B-A-I-K on it. I said, "What's that for?" "Boy, am I confused." I said, "If you don't spell confused with a K, you don't know how confused I am." People are confused. And people cling to comforters like children do to their comfort blanket. The more adult version includes money, popularity, position, fame, goods. But they're securities in an insecure world, basically. People cling to fundamentalisms. There's Christian fundamentalists, Muslim fundamentalists, all kinds of sects. There's political fundamentalists, right-wingers, left-wingers, extremists of all kinds. They take strong lines, you see. They have firm beliefs, clear policies. Life may not be easy or straightforward, but the harder your line, the simpler it gets. Things become black and white, not so greyish. I remember being in Taiwan, and I was on an in-service training course for a group, and we looked into poverty, pollution, prostitution, lots of big social issues. And I remember one young lad saying, "Right, we've looked into all these, what's the answer?" And it was pointed out, there isn't a simple answer to poverty, pollution, prostitution, or whatever. We always got answers at school. Yes, but you went to school in a dictatorship where the government knows everything, you know nothing, and they tell you. The real world is more complicated and uncertain. Life is full of questions. We're entitled to be confused, bombarded. That's what leads us to a fellow feeling for Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. The light of their life had just been extinguished. He who claimed to be the light of the world had just gone out. Dead, buried, gone. They were trying to get their heads round, how can that be? Has everything we've believed been rubbish all along? Was he just another false Messiah? It had all happened so quickly, they hadn't had time to get their heads turned and screwed on right. They hadn't had time to get their feelings to catch up with themselves. Their hopes were dashed, their hearts were broken, their dreams shattered, their heads spinning, a mixture of feelings churning inside. And now there were rumours that the body was missing. What next? What were they to think? But the end of their story is that Jesus turned them around. And there are three things in their story that might turn our lives around. One, the church gives us the companionship of fellow travellers. There were two of them on the road to Emmaus. They had each other in their grief. One was named Cleopas, the other is unnamed. People have speculated who it might be, but a good guess would be it was his wife. But anyway, they'd been going to the capital city and the bright lights to follow Jesus, and now they're trudging home to the little village to go back to where they started and try and rejig their life again. It was 7 miles, but a whole world of two worlds. Together they had shared the optimism, the joy, the hopes and dreams. Together they'd been shattered, and together they were grieving. Together they walked through the valley. Our society undervalues together. The Quakers, a Christian group, call themselves the Society of Friends. Isn't that a lovely expression for the church? A society of friends. But we live in a society, in a world where it's more like when you mourn, you go and separate yourself from other people, you hide in a hole and you cry quietly behind closed doors. We have doubts, we have questions, but the last thing you do is ask anybody about it. We have lots of people living on their own, getting bombarded with stuff from the television, the radio or wherever. And it's all one-way traffic, how bad the world is, and they've nobody to share the stress with. They end up having to switch to a comedy for sanity. We need other people. We need fellow pilgrims on the journey of life, fellow travellers, wounded warriors like ourselves, to walk the valley with us, to share the joys with us too. So look at Cleopas and his friend. At one point, they decided to leave the other disciples in Jerusalem and go back home together. How many people have left the church congregation to go back home alone or maybe a couple together? They talked to Jesus saying, "We had hoped that he would be." But it was had hoped. No more hope now. The woman came back saying that Jesus had risen, but we didn't believe them. Once your hopes are dashed, you think twice, once bitten, twice shy. You don't get your hopes raised too lightly. How many people are out in the cold like that? Even were they to hear the good news, they would be sales resistant. Because we once had high hopes for the church, the gospel, Christian life, and they got dashed, and we don't want to risk it twice. But when they got turned around, what was their first impulse? To run 7 kilometres, 7 miles back, and tell the others the good news. He's not dead, he's alive, we met him. He met us in the house. The first instinct of Christians is to congregate and to tell others and enjoy telling them. When they got back, they met Mary. Don't tell me, I saw myself in the garden. and the others, Thomas, I fell at his feet, my Lord and my God. Peter, he told me to go and feed his sheep. When we come to the church, we meet other people who have met the risen Christ, and it reinforces our convictions. Put all the coals together, the fire burns. Take out the coal and it loses its glow. But of course, you can put all the people together and they can still have their limitations. What the Bible needs in the midst is, what the church needs in its midst is the Bible. So Jesus, as he revealed to them, he didn't come in a blinding flash, say, hey guys, look, it's me, I'm alive again. He got alongside them where they were. He walked with them all the way on their journey. But what he did do was he opened up the scriptures to them and got them to see that, don't you remember how it was prophesied? Don't you remember how these things are supposed to happen? And even subtly dropping the hints, don't you remember Jesus saying to you that I will die and rise again on the third day? If you read the scriptures correctly when you read them, then it interprets life for us. It explains a lot of the valley of life. It gives us hope of high hilltops to come. Or the unnecessary anguish because we do not know how to interpret our life experience, because it's not soaked in the Bible and interpreted through the prism of the Bible. Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses. How foolish you are, he said, and slow to believe everything the prophet said. And the third thing is, when we are together and we have the scriptures, we have Jesus to interpret the scriptures to us. Jesus interpreted as he spoke to them. The interpreter is often an invisible figure. If you watch Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un having their big conference, all the attention's on them, but there are figures behind them called interpreters. And they translate, and they explain to the other, and they do a vital service. That's why you have preachers in the pulpit, teachers in the Sunday school, Bible study group on Friday where we share our experiences together. That's why we have Christian books to read, videos, radio programs. There's all kinds of things that God provides for us. But most of all, he provides himself. It's not me talking today, it's Jesus through me. It's Jesus through the radio program tomorrow. It's Jesus through each other's words to each other in the discussions. We have Jesus for real in the midst. So we have the Word of God proclaimed and preached, the Word of God written in Scripture. We have the Word of God made flesh in Jesus. There is no substitute for first-hand experience. As you saw earlier today, you can hear me talk about Montmartre in Paris, and it doesn't really mean a lot to you. It's my experience. But if you were in Montmartre, and you stood at the same place and remembered that story, it would come alive for you. Cleopas said, wasn't it like a fire burning in us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Paul said, I met Jesus on the road too, and my heart has burned within me ever since. And Mary said, my heart burned in me in the garden. And all the disciples chip in over the centuries. Does your heart burn within you? Have you met the risen Christ? Has he turned you around in the journey of life? Turned your sighing into singing, your sunset into a sunrise, your tears into laughter, doubts into certainties? Or is it second-hand hearsay? Stories in a book inherited from Sunday school? Has the resurrection dawned yet? Remember, the two disciples did not find Jesus. Jesus found them. It has to be that way around. Shepherd finding the sheep. But he does find us. And if our antenna is up at all, there'll be no mistaking, we are found. People are often trapped within their doubts and their fears and uncertainties. But in the end, you can be trapped in the arms of Jesus, in a hug that will never let us go. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we lay before you our money, our time, our talents, and our lives. Work in us and work through us for the changing of the world around us. Amen. So let's sing together from Mission Praise, I Serve a Risen Saviour, number 295. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we want to walk with you this coming week. When we're on our own, help us to know that you are with us. When we're with friends, help us to enjoy their company along with you. When we're at work, help us to share it all with you. May your presence be our protection when we're tempted, and may your presence be our strength if suffering comes. May your presence be our light when the way ahead seems dark. Help us not to plan to go anywhere if we could not invite you to come as well. May we not think of saying anything that we wouldn't want you to hear. May we not do anything if we couldn't have your blessing upon it. So we lay before you this coming week with everything that it holds, and we offer you our lives in your service. As we seek to know your presence for ourselves, we also seek this blessing for all our brothers and sisters in the church, indeed throughout the world. Where people serve you amongst war and famine or disaster, may they be upheld by your presence. Where they serve you in poverty and human degradation or disease, may they be upheld by your presence. And where they are persecuted or imprisoned or killed for the faith, may they be upheld by your presence. We pray for our rulers. There is so much to cause them anxiety at this time. May they be upheld by your presence. We pray for local councillors and all who lead our community life as they face changing patterns in society. May they be upheld by your presence. Risen Christ, be the head of our house. Be the unseen guest at every meal. Be the silent listener to every conversation. And hear us as we bring to you now our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for Ruth Carson, Angus MacLeod, Joe Barraclough, and Ruth Cowan. For Harry Duff, for Betty Keane, Peggy Parsons, Sylvia Bell. We pray for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray for the wider world, for America and China and their trade talks. We pray for the people in Sudan, in Venezuela, and Libya. We pray for Japan, which changed its emperor this week, and Thailand got a new king. His dad had ruled for 69 years. We pray for the Brexit stalemate, that we might find a way through soon. We think of the local government elections. Many people lost their jobs this week. Many are starting a brand new job for them this week. Be with them all. We think of North Korea again testing missiles. Israelis and Palestinians lobbing missiles at each other. We pray for the people in Mozambique, which has had a second cyclone in quick succession to the first. India has had a bad cyclone. 1 million people had to be evacuated. And we think of the persecution of Christians in 50 different countries, affecting 240 million people. We think of Sri Lanka as one of the latest incidents. We think of Canada legalizing cannabis in the past year to discover that already the number of users has doubled to 640,000 people trying it for the first time this year. And we pray for your blessing on the church. As a presbytery, we pray for Dalry Trinity and the Reverend Martin Thompson. But we pray for your church wherever it is located. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 760 in Mission Praise. 760. We'll sing the first two and the last verse. First two and last. And now may God the Father, God the risen Son, and God the Holy Spirit enable you to mount up on wings like eagles, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. Amen.